Welcome to Trapping Radio amidst the COVID apocalypse. I'm deep in my bunker looking at all my toilet paper, 55-gallon drums of sanitizer. I'm armed. I've got my flak vest on. I got my old helmet from the 101st Airborne on. I'm looking through my little sights, seeing who's coming to get my toilet paper. That's the world we live in today, and that's the world you better get used to. Or maybe not. Anyway, this is Clint Locklear for Trapping Radio. It is during the COVID 19, it seems like, apocalypse. It is for our economy. I don't know how many people the COVID's going to hurt, but I know it can kill the economy. And I think there's some lessons, and I think there's some thought that needs to be put into this. Basically, by all you men and women that are adults, young men, old men, makes no difference. I don't care if you're 20 or 65. There's a huge lesson to be learned from this. There's a few, actually, that I want to go over. Now, we're not going to be doing very much about actual trapping. I haven't done a business-type talk in a long time. And I thought this would be a good break. We talked about Johnny last week, just how good he was. And I think it would be very cool to look at everything going around, not from a political point of view, not from a money point of view as far as the stock market, whatever. I'm talking about from your point of view. Stuff like this happens all the time. We've had swine flu. We've had mad cow. We've had that thing from Southeast Asia. We had the Egyptian virus thing come up through here. We had 2008. We had the tech bubble burst. We had this, even though people get so used to everyday life, crap like this happens. Not too many years apart, and it seems like all the time. So there's lessons here that you can come out of this stronger than when you went in. Even if you immediately come out weaker, you can end up much stronger. There's opportunity in everything. But it's how you look at your own personal life. And that's what I want to talk about today. Before we get into that, though, I want to thank our sponsors. We have the best sponsors in the trapping industry. We have some of the best companies to deal with that are sponsors. I'm highly picky about sponsors. I get people wanting to be sponsors all the time. And some of them would be great sponsors, but the bottom line is I don't want to have my Trapping Radio look like a NASCAR jacket with 65,000 $1 sponsors on there or something like that. So I'm very picky. I've only had to get rid of one sponsor since we've been started, and everybody else that deals with the sponsors on the show really like it. So I'm going to quickly go through the list, and then we'll get on with the show. First off is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They're out of Iowa. They also sponsor the Man Strong podcast. They, of course, Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They do tags. Plus, they have a whole line of trapping supplies. They have deer stuff, fishing stuff, predator calling stuff. Allen's is loaded to the gills with stuff. And he's really good on getting stuff out. His prices are good, and he's a professional company. And if you ever meet him, you'll realize you'll just be his friend from that day on. Then we have Oki Cable and Trap out of Oklahoma. Oki has been a friend of mine for a long time. He's got a full line of trapping supplies. He buys fur most years, sells a lot of meat. He's just one of those guys that's he's just one of them old country guys you just like being around. I mean, he likes wheeling and dealing, and if that's what you like, and he's always got good prices, and he's always trying to save you a penny, check out Oki Cable and Supply. Then we have F&T Fur Harvesters, everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. They do a TV show that's on Pursuit Channel that they allow me to be on, and I'm very grateful for that. They do that show not for us trapping per se people, but they do it to try to bring people into trapping. And they spend a lot of money. If you knew how much money it costs to produce that show, just to try to keep the trapping alive, that would be enough for you to want to go to F&T and see what they got, and you'll see that they got everything. And then we have Dunlap Lures. which is a good friend of mine, Jeff Dunlap. I've been talking to him. He's saying everything in Michigan's all shut down, how just crazy everything is. And we're, you know, not sure about shows this year. I mean, you know, me and him do a lot of shows together. We sit up next to each other. He makes really good lure guys. His dad started this back in the 70s. He's kept it going. And you will not be disappointed with Jeff's lures. And then we have Wildlife Control Supplies out of Connecticut. If you're in the ADC business, you know, no matter what the economy's doing, people get a little nervous when raccoons are running up and down their walls and bats and everything else. So you probably a little bit more secure than some. And if you need supplies, you're not going to find a better place to get it than Wildlife Control Supplies. And they also have a full line of regular trapping supplies. They have a lot of my lures and stuff in there, and just a very professional company to deal with. So those are our sponsors, those ones that keep the doors open here. That's the reason we can do it for free. And that's the reason, you know, don't ask for a lot. You know, we do have a trapping fur brigade that you can go and you can sign up for at trappingradiofurbrigade.com. And you get discounts. Like, you order any of my stuff, it's 10% off. Anything from Funky Trap Tags, you get stuff from Southern Snares. There's all kind of different companies on there that do that, that give you a discount to be a member of the Fur Brigade. And there's free content on there that you don't have to pay for. Speaking of that, I need to change some of that out. So since we're all in lockdown, that's probably what I'll be doing probably Monday, is I'll be switching out some of those. So, you know, we also, if you're bored, we have, if you go to howtotrapit.com, we've got all of my videos, Randy's videos, Scott Adams' videos, all in one package, $1.99, saves you several hundred dollars. You can watch them as many times as you want, as often as you want, as long as you want. You buy them, you just don't get the DVD. You're streaming them, so make sure you got internet before you do that. howtotrapit.com, and then me and Jeff have a school coming up in September in Iowa that we're really excited about. I'm sure all this is going to be blown over by then, and we can get out there and get dirty and talk about catching animals and strategies and different ways that you can make sets and different ways you should look at land on how you make sets and all the intricacies of state hopping and all that type of stuff that me and Jeff has done for years. We're going to try to impart that into your brain as much as possible, and you can check out all the details of that on Wolfer Nation at my PCG store. It's under business course and trapping school. So I want to start this with a poem. And it's not a normal poem. It's a poem from a trapper. And I have to admit, it's pretty good. See, there's a skill here, which goes with the day's show, that I'm almost willing to bet if this gentleman put his noggin to work, he could probably figure out a way to use this skill, even though he was probably just goofing around when he did it, to have a revenue stream. It's from BM, and it's "Keep It Simple, Stupid." The most known unknown coyote trapping point. They say to emulate a trapper you look up to. In my case, maybe that could be a few. When it comes to betting a trap, I'm more like Zagger. Have you seen the coyotes he catches? The numbers do stagger. When it comes to numbers of traps or mental intent, I find myself using two traps at a set and thinking like Clint. Johnny Thorpe was a true legend indeed. He's proof. Know the animal and you will succeed. A master at packing light, using simplicity, always trap like a child, with curiosity. Maybe I'm biased, I do come from the East, but you must admit these men are great trappers, to say the least. Written by XN. So I think that's cool. I mean, I really do. I don't know if y'all know this about me or not. I actually, when I'm doing certain things, I listen to poems. Not so much like what we had to do in school when they were kind of like just poems because you had to do poems. There's some really cool poems out there. Like Red Frost on YouTube. I mean, some of those are just dang right inspiring. With this right here, with all the different genres out there, depending on what your voice is like, brother, putting some music behind some of these, some pictures, doing different things besides maybe just trapping, I would say there's a bigger market here than you realize. Just a simple poem, but there's a lot more to it than that. So, lessons from COVID-19. I think one of the major ones that I've learned over the years, especially when I was a professional trapper, when I relied on that over and over and over again, if I didn't catch, I didn't have any money. Nothing lasts forever. Guys, I talk to people all the time that are heartbroken. They lose property. They have crazy law changes. Fur market that goes up and down. You know, back when you talk to guys back before the Black Friday of 87, nobody thought the fur prices would ever go down. Nobody did. They thought that it was going to continue to rise and rise and rise. I mean, you know, I talked to Newt and he talks about you'd see a possum on the side of the road and it'd be two cars locked the brakes up because you could go get a case of beer for that possum. That's what it was like back then. Nothing lasts forever. You know, downtimes don't last forever either, even though they seem like it at the time because we're such good fiction writers in our brain about how it's always going to get worse. Nothing lasts forever. But unfortunately, I don't think that we see that today in the way that we actually live our lives. I don't know if you should call that a principle. I don't know if it's a law, even though it does seem to be just a law of nature. But we live our lives at the time when things are good, and we always think that they're going to stay that way. Just like the boys pre-85 thought that they were always going to be getting $40 raccoons and $80 fox and, you know, beaver being, you know, a buck an inch or $2 an inch, and Castor was crazy, and, you know, mink and all this, and everybody's buying new trucks every year off the fur and having plenty left over. And, I mean, it was crazy times. And then the stock market crashed. And then all the investors panicked. And it took several years before we saw another somewhat, never that big of a boom, but individual animals would get higher and lower and higher and lower. Nothing stays the same. You know, for you guys that want to make a large income from trapping when you can, that's something that you need to really understand. Nothing lasts forever. So if you're stuck on coyote trapping, and coyote trap, you know, coyotes are good money right now, and the coyote market crashes, you've got to be able to pivot immediately to something else. You know, there was a lot of guys that when I was doing, you know, all of my road trapping and staying away for 5-6 months out of the year on the road trapping and all that type stuff. You know, when otters were high, dude, we were focused completely on otters. When otters fell out, we pivoted in a day. And we made a logical, reasonable guess on what was still going to be rocking and rolling, and we would switch immediately and go to that. Now, if you're just stuck on otters or mink or muskrats or whatever, and you don't make those, well, you're going to have hard times. Mostly because you thought it would last forever. And you didn't plan, and you didn't, you know, like almost like train and educate yourself to be able to pivot. You didn't have the equipment, you didn't have, you know, the contacts, you didn't have all this stuff set up. But what we're seeing today, right now in America, is unemployment is going insanely high. Why? The governor's estates are shutting down the economy. Not the federal government, the governors are. And a lot of that has to do with they know it's going to hurt Trump. And they can say it's safety, but some of the stuff they're doing, it's to absolutely crush the economy. And that's what they're going to do. So, you have a job, whether it be white collar, blue collar, in a factory, outside, with your hands, on a computer, whatever it is, And you just always thought it was going to roll on forever. And you find all of a sudden you go into wherever your place of work is, and if they actually give a pink notice like you see in the movies, which I really don't know because I haven't had many jobs besides the military and working for a pool company for a couple of years, I don't know if there's really such thing as a pink slip. But if there is such thing as a pink slip, you probably know people that have gotten them. I know whole families that's been laid off. I mean, we're talking like Volkswagen in Chattanooga and all of the hundreds of businesses that are attached to them that supply all their stuff. They're shut down completely. People are sitting at home. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to anything. But the biggest thing is the shock. Because you get a nice job, or a somewhat decent job, or a sucky job, but it's paying your bills. And you start relying on that, and you start thinking that this is just going to be this way all the time. I mean, I've done this myself. You know, like I've been in places where I thought I had customers in the predator control side that were going to be there every year. Somebody gets sick, they sell the property. They change what they want the farm to be, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there with a, you know, without a place to go trap where I thought that I did, because I assumed that it would last forever, and it didn't. Everybody's guilty of this. Everybody gets guilty of this. But what we should do is be able to sit back, because a lot of us have time right now, because me and my wife are pretty much self-quarantined. And it should be a time to think. Set down the games, set down Netflix, set down your phone, and just think about things a little bit. Go on a long walk and just think. Leave your podcast at home. Just think. If this could happen now, just like it did in 87, and just like it did at the tech bubble, and just like it did in 2008, there's a good chance this is going to happen again. Now, as scary as that is to a lot of people, it's the unprepared for that reality that freaks out more than anybody. Don't be that person. Think about the things that you can do once the economy gets going again to put firewalls up against this happening again. Because I guarantee you there's people right now that's listening to this that's been laid off, their wife's freaking out, kids are at home all of a sudden, you don't know if you're going to have a job next week. I get how stressful that would be. But is there anything that you can do to put firewalls up against this when it happens again? Because I want anybody that listens to this show, to be honest with you, I want you to thrive. And there's a couple of ways that I can think of. Well, there's three actually. Three that I can think of that can put some security into an unsecure world. One of them is do a little bit of prepping. Now, you can get online. Now, let me warn you, if you haven't done this, there are guys online that will scare the bejesus out of you over every single thing that's ever happened in history. Do not get involved with those people. That's not what you're prepping for. You're prepping for firewalls against the next COVID-20. Or the next major stock market crash, or layoff, or whatever it is. So what does that really mean? Well, what happens when you lose your job? See, this is where you sit back and think. Well, if I lose my job, I'm not going to have income coming in. But there's still going to be bills coming in. You're still going to have house payments and car insurance and maybe car payments and credit cards and and, you know, homeowners insurance. If you live in one of those places, you're going to have land taxes. You're going to have all kind of stuff. You got to eat. You know, you got to still go to the doctor. You got your kids still need shoes and you know, the brand new iPhones and all that type stuff. That takes what? That takes money. Well, you know, there's a guy that I recommend everybody listen to at least, you know, a couple times a month, and that's Dave Ramsey. If you've never heard him, he's a guy out of Nashville, Tennessee. He talks about living below your means, paying your bills out of envelopes, and eating rice and beans if you're in debt till you get out of debt. You can listen to a couple of shows and get the gist, but it's always good to go back and get reminders. If you live below your means when everything's going good and you stack some money back, he recommends 6 months of income. So it's like is it safety fund? Reserve fund? I'm not sure what he calls it. But it's 6 months sit back. Now, since he's come out and said that, I've heard this on the news and different things like that. You know, and 6 months of income is a half a year's income. Now, that's pretty steep. But see, you do what you can with where you are. So maybe work on 1 month's income. And once you get that set back, you put it somewhere and, I mean, you go get you a number 15 bear trap that's a new house, and you set that son of a gun. Whether you or anybody in your family touches that money, they lose a limb. That's not money to go on vacation. That's not money to go get some new clothes. That's not money for a down payment on a new car because you're getting tired of the old one. That's very serious money you don't play with. And see what Dave Ramsey says, until you have 6 months of income, why are you putting money into the stock market? And I think he's correct. Until you're out of debt, why are you putting money into the stock market? Now, I know what your financial advisor is going to say, but see, this is where it's a time to reflect, guys. Why? What is more important than having the security of having 1, 2, 3, 6 months of income set back that nobody touches? Well, if you get laid off at work, you've got 6 months to figure something out. Or you may have split it up where you may not pay some bills, but you don't lose your house. You may lose a toy, but you don't lose your house. See, that's the simplest form of prepping. And I didn't even mention guns or ammo or, you know, gas masks and bunkers. I didn't mention any of that. That's the simplest form in our world today of prepping that you can do. Now, if you're caught right now flat-footed, yeah, I mean, you're just going to have to suffer through this. There's no other way to get around that unless you can come up with a revenue stream real quick that generates a lot of money. The other thing is get in the habit of always having more food in your house than you can eat. Dude, if you're listening to this show, you should be, you know, shooting some deer, putting some beaver back straps, which I wish I had the text pulled up. Beaver is way more nutritious than beef, elk, deer, antelope, lamb, and we all throw it away. Learn how to cook it. I'm going to give you a quick recipe, real quick, just because you can fix it and your wife will love it, then you can tell her what it is. Get you some olive oil and put it in a bag. 45 minutes before you're going to cook your beaver back straps or smoke them, you're going to put them in the olive oil with a couple of cloves of garlic, with a good handful of rosemary and some thyme, and you're going to seal that bag up and you're going to let it sit on the counter for about 45 minutes, and you're going to take it out to the grill and you're going to cook it for 3 minutes on one side, 2 minutes on the other, jerk it off, and watch what happens when people put that in their mouth. Don't be doing all kind of crazy stuff. Learn how to cook lamb. You can cook beaver. Really good stuff. So we have, there's no excuse for a trapper to be going hungry. Because if you trap, I almost guarantee that you fish. And if you fish and trap, there's a good chance that you hunt. And what better way to use the skills that you have to fill a freezer? Learn how to can it if you don't have a generator or something like that. See how deep down the prepping hole you want to go. But always have more food on hand. You know, have some extra rice, have some extra pasta, have some extra beans. Have stuff that you can keep for a long time without worrying about it going bad. And you make sure it's stuff that you eat anyway. So let's think about what's going on in America if people would do those two simple things right there. People are in lockdown. A lot of states are locked down worse than they are here. You got 6 months of income, and you got way more food than you can eat anytime soon. Where's the stress now? There isn't any, right? See, that's what thinking and prepping does. You break down a problem, you work the problem, and you come up with different things that you can do to mitigate that problem when it happens. See, I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm not talking about civil war. I'm not talking about anything. Two things. Have some money set back that you do not touch, unless you need to touch. And if you've been laid off, that's a good reason to touch it. You don't go blow it. You treat it just like you're having a paycheck come in. And you've got plenty of food. And you can learn a few skills on making sure you get water. Like where I live, I'm pretty blessed. We live now on the river. Our water comes through the river with power that we can use with a generator. And it filters and cleans the water. So water's not an issue for us. Some people, that's going to be a big issue. I could go out there with a big pot of water and boil it and drink it. I'm not worried about that at all. It could be a problem you have. You need food. You need shelter. You need water. And in today's world, you need money. Prep for those. Not the end of times. Not a nuclear blast. Not anything like that. Because if anything like that happens, you're still going to be better off. Prep. The other thing that you need to work on when you get out of whatever situation you're in with this is do everything in your power to get out of debt. Guys, you do not understand what it's like to be out of debt. It is amazing. You don't need very much money to run a household or to run a business if you're out of debt. That's not an easy thing, because whatever decisions you've made in the past, you're going to have to make up for in the future. But think about the difference of the people now that are laid off and they're making a house payment and they're making car payments. And they haven't learned the way Dave Ramsey talks about, because me and my wife has done this. He calls it a snowball plan. You pay off the smallest debt. You still act like you have that debt. And once that debt's paid off, you go to the next smallest debt, and it snowballs up. Till somewhere in the future, you're really knocking a house payment down a lot. And then lo and behold, if you got some discipline, you'll be out of debt. See, what kills me about the modern world today is being in debt has become so common. Go talk to your granddad and your grandma. See, it wasn't in their lifetime. Talk to people that lived through the Depression. They're still around. Their kids can definitely tell you what their parents thought of debt. Debt can be a great thing if it's going to make you money. And for the most part, a house is not going to make you money. Because when you add up all the interest, all the maintenance, all the taxes, and you double the price of the house, you're probably still going to be losing money. But you need a place to stay. It's great for all the reasons of a home. But for most people, it's not exactly, unless you're buying a house in a place that's not developed and it gets developed around you and you stay there 40 years. We've all heard those stories, but that's not the way most people buy in their houses. When you pay $300,000 for a house and you actually pay $500,000 because of interest, and then you throw another $100,000 on because of maintenance, look how much money you have to do to break even. But a house is important, and it's really important to your wife. It's not going to be easy to get out of debt because you don't get to have all the fun that you're used to having off money that you haven't made yet. But see, this is a lesson from what we're seeing today, that if people were out of debt, it's totally game-changing from people that are in debt. Because every 30 days, then people are still going to want their money. So get out of debt, or the most out of debt that you can get. There's two thoughts when it comes to debt. One, you can put money in the stock market, and if it's making more than you're paying on interest now on your house, then you're being stupid because you're not making that money. Well, how's that working out now for a lot of people that don't have money coming in and they still have a house payment? See, there's a little difference between real-world security and paper money. Just eat on that a little bit. Now, the last thing that you should do, and I think every person should try, and more of you will succeed than you realize, not the way that you think it's going to be, but you'll end up succeeding in the end, is build revenue streams. Now, I use the term revenue streams for a reason. I'm not talking about a business. It can be a business, but a business has a connotation of a suit and a tie, and employees and a president and a workforce and a factory and a floor, and you go get all these loans, and you know, that's what people are taught in college, is business. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about revenue streams. My lure business has never had a penny of debt against it, ever. So if there's no conventions this year, let's say this thing keeps getting crazier, so to say there's no conventions this year, which I don't know if there will or won't be, my inventory sitting on the shelf is not eating anything as far as I have to keep paying on it. So I'm not borrowing money to keep moving money around. See, that's more of a revenue stream. My revenue stream of trapping in lure business and DVDs and business course and the Fur Brigade and all this, the podcast, all that type stuff, those revenue streams give the illusion of a business, but they're really separate revenue streams that I gotta, you know, tweak this and do this and work on that and do all that. It's not a quote business like some of the people in the trapping industry are. You know, when you look at F&T and Funky and you know, Minnesota, and I mean, those are businesses. Mine is a group of revenue streams that end up with enough income to be a business. It is incorporated, it is a business, but it wasn't set out with the intent of quote being a business. Because I just think that most guys, when they hear the term business, they go to the wrong places in their head. A revenue stream could be something as simple as you're tanning your own fur and you take it to Mountain Man Rendezvous. That's a revenue stream. Could it turn into a business? Possibly. You know, cleaning all your skulls and your claws and making jewelry out of it. That's really a revenue stream. It could be a business. It could be matched with the fur that you sell that you get tanned. You could start doing videos on how to home tan that you sell for, you know, $9.99 that someone can get on Patreon. Is that really a business? No, that's a revenue stream that can be added to the other two things we talked about. And at the end, you keep adding revenue streams, you have a business income, which means you're either self-employed or you're employed with a great big cushion employment of yourself on the backside. To me, that's much safer. Because you know what's not going to happen tomorrow? Is I'm not giving myself a pink slip. Because the business is not in debt, if it just flounders around for a long time, I'll be able to survive that. Now, if I've got building payments and truck payments and equipment payments, and I'm borrowing money to get ingredients and borrowing money on bottles and you know, borrowing money because I gotta have money to go to the shows because they're so expensive, and I've gotta advertise, and we'll see, all that stuff is, it's kind of like the old thing, you know, chickens come home to roost. They come home to roost when you don't want them to the most. When everything's going good, a turkey can fly. Any turkey can fly in a hurricane. When the wind stops, turkeys can still fly, but they don't fly near as well. See what I'm saying? See, that to me, that's a smarter way. When I had my pool business, we never borrowed a penny to start a construction business. And when I got done, we had backhoes and bobcats, and I let the business grow the business. But see, when you look at it from a business point of view, especially coming from an employee background, the first thing you're always going to think about is your income, which normally doesn't come at the start of a revenue stream. You put a lot of sweat equity in, you put a lot of time, a lot of effort that you don't get paid a whole lot on, but down the road, you seem like a genius because now you're getting paid doing something that you're good at, that you don't have a boss anymore. So I think it behooves everybody to have multiple revenue streams. Now, whatever that is, I don't know. Just since being off, I've thought about a couple of them, and I'm gonna tell you, and if I'm gonna do any of these, I have no idea. One of them is not something that I'm looking at too quick. There's two that I'm not looking at too quickly, and there's one that I could start doing now, which I wouldn't get paid on for a long time because the way the economy is right now, it would suck. But because business is slow, because people are really watching their money, I could build inventory and then look like a genius down the road when I go to sell some of this stuff. One of them is, some of you may or may not know this, but I made a living as an artist for several years. I painted paintings. Bright, audacious, almost damn near glow in the dark. I mean, they were so bright. And I made a living doing that. And I quit doing it because I got so involved into the trapping. But in the back of my mind, especially when I get around relatives and my wife and me, and we were just up in the Highlands, Georgia, because we have family members that have a house up there, and we're going around. And I'll be honest, I always look at art just because I used to paint it. So I'm looking at technique and different things. And some of this art was really cool. I'm talking hyper cool. One of them was a caribou that I've never seen painted like this. Genius. It was a watercolor painting. And I can tell you with watercolors, it probably took the whoever painted this thing originally about an hour at the most of actual time. To get a print of this, to get a print of this painting of the caribou, which they sell all the time through this one store, plus all the other thousands of stores that are selling them, it's $480. I have no idea what the original of this painting cost. How much do you have in a print? Counting frame and mat and everything, probably about $100. So there's probably about $380 worth of profit. He's already made the painting once. he's selling the painting over and over and over again, you can kind of see how that stacks up to some cash. There was nothing in that painting that I couldn't do in an hour. So I've thought about, since everything slowed down, maybe I need to bring out some paints and build up some inventory. It's a revenue stream. It has nothing to do with trapping. It has nothing to do with catfish bait. It has nothing to do with my lure business. It has nothing to do with my business course. It has nothing to do with that. But I can see 20 years from now, if I built up a decent clientele, that would be a revenue stream at the point where maybe it's just too much to go out there and grind a ton of beaver meat or bobcat meat or horse meat. So I'm just thinking, that's a skill that I have that you may or may not have that could be a revenue stream. The other one is from doing this Man Strong podcast and taking getting into shape so serious, I've been doing so much research and getting so frustrated with all of the nonsense inside the fitness industry. Maybe down the road, because we're probably going to be putting Trapping Radio and Man Strong Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and all that stuff. We got plans for that. If that grows, I could do like I've seen some of the other people in the industry do, which is very smart, is they do a lot of content for people that are trying to do that particular type of industry or fitness. One of them is Mark Bell, and he's come up with a website. It's $6.99 a month. It's not very much money per person. He's working off of a principle of a lot of people are going to be interested, and they have been. And he has like daily workouts, and he has nutrition facts, and he has, you know, motivation and all that type stuff. Well, what I'm struggling with at being 51 years old and trying to be in as good a shape at when I'm 60 as I was when I was 20, which I think is possible, I actually do. Why can't I do the same thing? Why not build up a presence on Instagram and YouTube, put the Man Strong podcast out there? If it gets traction, I could start a website for $6.99 a month or $10.99 a month by the time I do that, because prices always go up. And then people that are 40 to 60 to 70 can get a workout. Well, we go over that every day, 5 days a week. We work on maximum strength. We work on speed. We work on explosiveness. We work on flexibility. We work on general physical preparedness. That way, they're not trying to go through all of this garbage that I see inside the fitness industry, where it's a bunch of frou-frou stuff. And if enough people are interested in that, that could be a revenue stream on top of, even if I did art, even if I did lures, even if I did catfish bait. Kind of see, I mean, this is the way that I think, and this is an interest that I have, and you have interest too. You have skills. You probably don't even realize the skills that you have. Inside the trapping industry, we're probably one of the most skilled groups of people there is in any type of conglomerate of people. You've got machine people that know how to work on machines, you know how people run machines, you know how to do metalwork, you know how to weld, you know how to do woodwork, you know how to do, some of y'all are very good at the handyman type stuff, some of y'all are very good at cutting lumber, at making firewood, at smoking meat, everything that you do is impressive to somebody else. The problem is most people don't see their skill levels that way, which you need to figure out how to change your mind about that. If you know how to weld, dude, you are super valuable. You might not think so because you go work in a place somewhere where you get paid $20 an hour and they work you like a dog. What are they charging for you? And what do people charge for custom welding work? I've talked to gentlemen that go out that know how to work on tractors and they're on call with certain farmers and they charge a bunch when they go do this, but the farmers know when they pick up the phone, they go out there, they fix their equipment, and they're back up to farming. Same thing with construction. A lot of guys come out of the military knowing how to do that. But people don't look at their skill sets that way. See, another one that I've just played around with and done some research on is since I've started lifting weights so much and I'm starting to study what happens as you get older, you don't get the same nutrition out of foods as you did when you were 30. There's a lot of different things like that. And that led me down the road of, well, would there be better formulas for supplements for people that are getting older than guys that are 25-year-olds taking 5 different types of steroids and living in a gym all day? I would say there would be. Especially when you find out a lot of these supplements have a lot to do with brain health and helping with autism and dementia. And all this stuff, it's the more I got into it, the more exciting it got, just because it's out there. And then I had to figure out where to find these supplies. What do they cost? What would I need to do if I was going to sell like a protein powder with maybe some more BCAAs and maybe some more leucine in there, because for older people, we don't digest that much. So you need to take more in to get it out. What would that mean? Is it profitable? Is it something I would want to do? Is it something you can do on small scale and still make income? It looks like it could be. Is that something I'm gonna do? I don't know. But see, I'm always looking for the next revenue stream. I always am. And that's the way you need to be, because what you're going to do, guys, if you start looking at everything, is it a possible revenue stream? You're going to find out there's a lot of things you can make money at that you just don't want to do when you actually figure out what it is. And you trust me, if you don't want to do it once, you don't want to do it 10,000 times. If it's something you would enjoy, and it's a skill that you have that other people don't do, that they pay people for, you may be in a gold mine. See, there's interesting around here when we moved. There is a handyman that we've become good friends with. His name's Randy. Randy grew up in the area, and Randy's 60. Randy's parents used to own a marina, and they sold it, and he had to figure out something to do, and he was very skilled at handyman work. He can do some electricity, he can do some plumbing, he can do some roofing, he can fix sheetrock, he can build decks, he can build a boat dock, because they used to build them at the marina. He can do all this stuff that everybody that lives around here doesn't really know how to do. Randy takes 3 to 4 months to get Randy at your house. Randy's not cheap. Randy's dependable. Randy does a hell of a job. He does it right. And he's in such demand, even with the economy the way it is now, he's 3 months before he'll show up at your place. Not that he's being, doesn't want the work. He physically can't. Because he's working 6 days a week. Now, how many of you guys out there are that kind of people? See, my brain doesn't work that way. I've tried sheetrock. It was terrible. I've tried woodworking. That is not my gig. I'm pretty decent with metal. I can do some plumbing because of the pool business. I've been shocked so many times in the pool business because of electricity. I will not touch it. I don't know how to put cabinets in a kitchen. I don't know how to put a sink in. You know, when me and Cindy have to do something, most of the time it's because of YouTube and we're praying that it works. How many of you out there, because I've met hundreds and hundreds of you at shows, they can do damn near anything. And it's scary doing it on your own. If you're an employee, I get that. You've had the false sense of security that nothing changes. See, Randy's not worried about what's going on. People still going to need their roofs fixed. They're still going to need stuff done at their house. He's still getting farther and farther behind. I've watched Chip with his machine go in all different type of directions with his cutter and his ability to weld and think and do math and put stuff together. That it's literally unlimited what Chip can do. I watch him do math on stuff that I'm blown away. And he produces stuff out of his shop that can go on a $3 million house as far as a gate, or it can be something that a middle income woman would want to have on her kitchen wall. He's figured out ways to use scrap from different projects to make money. And then he has ExpandaPants. He's got all these different skill sets. And most people have different skill sets, but everybody looks at everybody else's skill sets like they're special and theirs isn't. And that's where you run into trouble. You got hobbies. There are ways to generate income because it's hobbies for a reason, and people spend money on hobbies. Making money on weightlifting. It's a hobby. It's something I take pretty serious as I get older. But I don't ever thought 20 years I would be thinking about maybe a revenue stream in the fitness industry. Keep in mind, what do people not want to do or what do they can't do? And see, your kids, I think one of the biggest things we need to understand and come to terms with in this country is we're getting less and less effective of taking care of ourselves. That's why mechanics charge $150 an hour. Are you mechanical? Are you making $100 an hour at your job now? Oh, I know you got to buy some tools. You buy them slowly. Stay out of debt, take on some jobs, buy some more tools. That's how it works. You know how to build hot rods? People love spending money on hot rods. If I knew somebody was close to me right now, I'm dying to put a Stage 2 Whippler supercharger on my Challenger. You would think that would be easy. Apparently it's not that easy to find somebody that does stuff like that. Whoever does that's going to make good money off of me. I don't know how to do it. I just want 780 horsepower. People love hot rods. They love motorcycles. People like all kind of things in sports. Hobbies. What do people not want to do? I've talked about this before. There's a company that is a multi-million dollar franchise that gets high school kids to go pick up dog shit out of people's yards. They don't want to do it. They'll pay somebody to do it. Now I'm gonna end this on, you need to become a learner. See, I'm learning a lot about the supplement industry, which I really wish I didn't know. That's the reason, if nothing else, I'm gonna make my own. Be a learner. If you're good at wood, what else can you do with it? Have you seen what they sell a duck call for? Do you know what it costs to get a custom gun stock made? If you're into metal, I've talked to Chip about this. There is a gold mine inside of the fitness industry to making very specific style of training equipment. When Chip looks at what I show him, he's like, yeah, I have about $100 in it. What do they sell it for? $700. You know how to weld, cut metal? Revenue streams. But you got to become a learner. You may go, well, I don't know anything about the fitness industry. Learn. You don't know anything about duck calls. Learn. You don't know anything about being a handyman, if you think that's down your racket. Learn. Don't know how to flip houses. Learn. Not from HGTV, but I mean actually learn how to do it. But more importantly than being a learner, guys, you got to be a doer. Learning without doing is nothing when it comes to revenue streams. People are afraid when they start doing stuff like this, and they want to learn and learn and learn, and they never pull the trigger because they never know enough, and they never will. You figure it out as you go along. How do you think I've done lures? I've had some help along the way, but I've had to, learn and figure it out and get my ass kicked and fail. And that's great. But you got to be a doer. I've learned more about catfish, playing around with catfish baits, than I ever have from the catfish. Because there's a lot of stuff that people think is really good catfish bait, and it really sucks when you go to test it. And there are a lot of things that I was surprised that catfish are really attracted to. Be a doer along with a learner. And keep in mind when you're starting out as a revenue stream person, if you've never done this, a revenue stream, the biggest challenge that I have when I talk to people about revenue streams is they're looking for a revenue stream that's going to make as much money as their job and more from the start. That's being so unrealistic. You start revenue streams when you have a job. And eventually you work yourself out of that job and you keep diversifying your revenue streams. We've got all kind of shows on Trapping Radio talking about this. I've got a business course on it. It's not as hard as people think it is, but the biggest thing is they always think they're going to be successful really quick. And that's just not realistic most of the time. You're going to have times that you're thinking you're wasting your time. You'll figure something else out. All of a sudden something starts blowing up. That doesn't last forever. You got to come up with different revenue streams to overcome because something out of China now is destroying what you're doing or whatever. So you're constantly learning, you're constantly doing, you're constantly failing, and you're constantly succeeding. And if you keep doing that, lo and behold, when you're my age, it looks like you know what you're really doing from the outside looking in. But in reality, most of it's been by the seat of my pants, trying to figure stuff out as I learn stuff, question things, try to figure out if the normal way that everybody's doing everything is the best way. Is there a better way? Can I make it better for the market? Can I fix a need for a customer? And lo and behold, down the road, you've got a bunch of revenue streams that allows you to do things you probably would never do if you'd have kept a job. See, it's up to you, nobody else. It's up to you how you respond to the stimulus that we're all getting now with the economy doing what it's doing now because of this virus and a panic. And we can put our head in the sand and act like once this is over, it's going to be perfect forever. And the next time it happens, you're trying to figure out what to do. Or you can prepare yourself and your family to be more diversified and be prepared with some money and some food, that it doesn't have to wreck your life every so many years. Because right now, people's lives are being wrecked. And I just heard it again on different things. The average American cannot come up with $1,000 worth of cash. It's like 70% of America. 70%. Which means 70% of the people that listen to this radio show probably can't either. If you want to change your future, you got to change your present. And to change your present, you've got to open your mind. And if you open your mind, there is no limits. It's just on what you want to do. And that's where I want people to be that listen to Trappin' Radio. Unlimited. Because they don't have a closed mind. Guys, I hope this has helped. I know this is not about trapping per se. But it is something that affects trappers. It's real life. It's something that's affecting a whole lot of people right now. And I don't want anybody to be in a situation where they're panicking because of money, because they didn't do things in the past to prepare them for the present. Now, there's nothing you can do about your past, about this present, but there's certainly something you can do about your future for the next time something like this happens, because it will. Nothing lasts forever, guys.